You are listening to the Massive Report podcast.
Welcome to Saucy Brew Works for another edition of the in-person Massive Report podcast. We have a full panel and then some. We have a new friend who is joining us again, and I couldn't be more delighted to have him. We'll get to that here in a second. But first, Ori is here with his outstanding, snappy Madmen live copy for Saucy Brew Works.
Yeah, first of all, Brian, I have to point out that shot you had at me last week when I wasn't here. I wasn't embarrassed to bring my girlfriend here. Just didn't have the time to. So, but I have many feelings.
She's real. She just doesn't live here. I promise, guys.
She goes to a different school.
She lives in the greater Niagara Falls area. Old movie reference.
The greater Chicago area, I should say. But I have feelings. But I do feel great about Saucy Brew Works' first time here. It is the best bar in Columbus, I can confirm. And it is the best place to be in the world. Saucy Brew Works. If your brew works, then why not be saucy with it? Check them out at 443 West 3rd Avenue. And also, this Sunday for the Austin FC versus Columbus Crew game, they're doing a watch party at Village Idiot. So go down there to watch the Crew Austin FC game this Sunday.
Thank you. Like and subscribe to the Massive Report podcast. Only leave positive comments because, as you know, we are very sensitive and have low self-esteem. And that was my point, Ori, was that you had every right to be embarrassed by this lot. And I can understand why you wouldn't want to bring her around to us. I mean, you only had so much quality time together.
Exactly, yeah. Shout out Rachel.
I get it. Hi, Rachel. Maybe someday we'll meet you. Do you have a picture of her or anything that we could, like, prop her up?
It's an audio podcast, so.
Just FaceTime her in,
no,
man.
I just like Sam to know
will
who
just
I'm talking
make that
to.
The image, you know, when you download it on Apple Podcasts. That's going to be the...
Maybe I'll send you a picture of her hedgehog gizmo. Maybe
does
that's
she listen
picture.
To this nonsense?
What's her score prediction for next game? Yeah.
She listened to this nonsense last week and got a kick out of the line that you had at me and all the shots. And then Pat also repeatedly saying how young I am. So,
well, that's factually correct.
Does she not know how young you are? My age is kept secret here.
Is this a cougar kind of thing? Is that why you didn't bring her around? Is she like 44 years old?
No comment.
Three kids and no?
No comment.
No shame, man.
This is already off the rails and we've been recording for 3 minutes.
All right, that's totally my fault. Alex, Murph, Ori, Bart, Sam at the controls, who refuses a microphone tonight, for our guest, Ty Phillips from Nordic. It's good to see you in person. How are you, my friend?
I'm good.
You're
tired.
Better than last time, right?
Yes, much better.
Worn out from last Saturday still?
I recovered pretty quickly, so now I'm taking care of the people that didn't recover as quickly.
I got you. Well, from your perspective, it had to be a special evening, and I'm going to go around the room. We're going to keep score who cried and who didn't, and we'll see. Did you cry, Ty?
I did not cry. I get teased a lot for not crying during things I should, like Queer Eye episodes. I'll watch it and I'll be like, my heart's moved, but I'm not crying. Right. I was like more in the mode of like, this is a night where I'm taking all the nostalgia. A lot of my like coming of age soccer wise is in that stadium. I even like met my mentor and watched like the first half with him in the spot we used to always watch it when I was like 10. So I had that moment. But I think I'm more just excited for what's to come. So I didn't have the tears. I had a lot of friends around me that had the tears, but I'm more just like excited. That's where I'm at.
One of my kids was there, and she's all grown up now. And unfortunately, we couldn't all get seats together, but she's texting my wife and I like, oh, I remember I grew up here, you know, and I'm thinking about it. It's like, yes, my kids did grow up in that place. And ironically, I didn't see Crew Cat at all. One of my girls was terrified of Crew Cat when she was little. So just all these memories just came flooding back in. It really is. It's more than the game on the field. Obviously, we wanted to win. There's a picture of Crew Cat.
That's SC.
Oh, SC. Okay. But these memories came flooding back in that had nothing to do with the game, right?
Yeah. I think that was, again, like where most of my like sentiment was. It was like remembering the people that I've met here, the things that I have like experienced here, and the things that helped grow the like love of the game for me. I had those moments, but I had other friends who were like, I've heard some stories about people who, like, whose grandparents would take them, and the grandparents are no longer here, or stuff like that. There was a lot of emotion around that, but for the most part, dude, it was just a beautiful, beautiful night. That's all I can wrap it up. It was a beautiful night.
And awesome. Alex, it was really all demographics. Mm-hmm. I had a couple, a few rows in front of my wife and I, and they were probably at least 80 years old, and they were so cute, and they were decked out in their crew stuff. I could tell they had been coming for years, and they were up joining in on all the festivities, and I could tell what a joyful time they were having. So we had little kids, and we had people in their 80s, the whole thing. I mean, it was a beautiful night.
It really was. And, you know, I think for me, everything was a little bit complicated. I mean, that was a place where I really did grow up in a lot of ways. I mean, started going to the games as soon as it opened, and, you know, it became something that my brother and I did together, and it's kind of like the primary thing that we do together still. You know, met a lot of my best friends there, and you know, looking back on it, it was bittersweet in a lot of ways to kind of move on. And, you know, I think another thing that I heard a lot from people as I talked to people in Nordeca was that, you know, we're excited about the new stadium, but, and there was a lot of that kind of follow-on of, like, you know, the tailgating's not going to be the same, and, you know, I met all my friends here, and, you know, it's going to get bigger than it was before, which is a good thing in some ways, but, you know, you look back on, like, the history of sports, and, you know, whether it's, you know, baseball, football, soccer, whatever it is, you know, and there's kind of like an evolution that takes place, and it goes from being, you know, you're super, super close to the team, and, you know, you can kind of, you know, heckle a player, and the player will, like, heckle you back kind of thing, and, you know, as the sport evolves and as the sport grows, that, you know, closeness that you feel with the team starts to kind of, a gap develops. And I think some people feel like, oh, maybe that things won't be the same at the new place and things like that. So, you know, we'll see how it goes. I did not cry, but I did sit in a different spot than I normally did. And I did not sing or anything until the very end. I kind of went back down to my normal spot, but spent probably 85 minutes up at the top of Nordeca just watching and just kind of listening and just kind of soaking it in. Mm-hmm. It was kind of when all the cell phone lights came on is when right. I was kind of like, I need to go down.
Yeah.
I need to go back to my spot. And I did, but, you know, it's hard to describe the feelings. I mean, it did feel a little bit like a celebration. It did feel a little bit like a funeral. It was just a little bit of everything.
Yeah.
And I, to be honest with you, I haven't fully processed it yet. And I'm not sure I'm going to fully process it for like another year or two. Like, I really think it's going to be, I'm going to get to a point where I'm going to want to go back. And I'm not going to be able to. And like, that's when it's really going to be like, oh man, like we turned a page. But the page turn hasn't hit me yet. I'm still mentally thinking like next Saturday, I'm going to be back there. And I'm not, but like it hasn't hit me yet.
Well, you can watch the Austin game in the parking lot or something. Bart, you have your finger on the pulse of the tailgating culture at crew games. I'm sure that culture is going to evolve with the new stadium in ways that we don't know yet. But it had to be like the pregame and all the things that you and your friends do had to be almost more significant than the actual match, huh?
I mean, because you know, you weigh the fact that this was, you know, the last game, the final game, but you also take into account this was the first game that we've really been able to tailgate.
Yeah,
that's a good point.
You know, in more than a year, and it was wild just watching kind of throughout the week that 90% thunderstorm forecast.
Oh,
the
day, I know.
And it just kept, and then suddenly we're going to have this maybe, you know, 2-3 hour little span that might be good, and it just. I mean, I went. I packed up everything. I had swim trunks just in case. You know, extra change of clothes.
A 9 a.m. forecast for 9 p.m. is usually not correct.
Yeah. Oh, but I mean, we're talking about, you know, throughout the week, but it got better and better, and it was. I mean, it was just
kind of
up.
The weather just sort of split off and went on either side of the city, north and south.
And I thought, frankly, I wanted to get through, you know, tailgating drive, because you do worry a little bit if it's really bad and rainy, that does that drive some people away? But I'll be honest, I kind of wanted a little bit of rain during the game. I kind of felt like that would have been a bit fitting. Not a lightning delay, but just a fitting way to send the old girl off. But I think just, you know, the combination of the weight of the occasion and the fact that you're seeing all these people for the first time, you know, for many of them in more than a year, being able to just hug. It had the feel of kind of, you know, an Irish wake where we're all just kind of celebrating and processing through all of it. But it was incredible. It was so fun. You had Chris and Gene, who are a couple of the guys that are the ushers that came out to the tailgate before. We made sure to, you know, feed them. Chris is introducing us to his fiance, who he's met. And I mean, it is. You're catching up with all these, you know, friends and family that you know. There's just no substitute. As fun as it is to interact online, and it's really great to have that, there's no substitute to being there in person, being there together, and it was just incredible.
None. I made a point of doing a lap around the concourse before the game, and in the tradition of going to crew games, you're always going to run into friends. You're going to run into people that you haven't seen in months or years. Ran into Murph. I met Neil's significant other. I mean, you're going to run into people. And it, subsequently, as tradition calls for it, my wife is sitting in her seat, and 20 minutes, a half hour goes by, and I come back with a beer, and she goes, "Where the hell have you been?" I'm like, well, you know how it is. I like to walk around and see who's here and say hi. And you know how it goes. The game hasn't started yet, you know? So it's just, I just wanted to do that one last time because I wanted to soak in that community feeling, and I really felt like that was important to me to do that.
That game just felt like it went so quickly. Uh-huh. I mean, it just so fast.
Oh, I know. It was like, it was all of a sudden, it was the 65th minute, mm-hmm. and I thought to myself, you know, soccer really doesn't take a whole lot of time to play. Tie, and it's like all this other stuff that we built around it to make it into an evening, because otherwise we're in and out in 2 hours, yeah, right?
I think it's like soccer has that like magical feeling of like dragging out as long as you want to be, also being as condensed as you want to be. Mm-hmm. And I think because of all the events that we had around the day, soccer allowed us to fully take in the like moment of this is the final game at the Old Girl, but it also gave us the moment of like, our team is out there performing. Our friends are out here. I've hugged people I haven't hugged in over a year. I was able to, like, take it all in. It came together in, like, one just beautiful moment. Even at, like, when the whistle blew, right, it didn't feel like it was over. I loved how it felt like we're still here. This is still a
Most
big moment.
Most people stay in their seats?
Yeah, it was
Almost
fantastic.
Almost everyone stayed in their seats, which I love that. Blew my mind.
I guess I didn't read my activation email because I didn't know there was going to be a fireworks show, and all of a sudden they're putting explosives on the field, and I guess, well, they're serious about it now because they're putting explosives on the field.
Well, and at the time there were still players on the field, and that was a little alarming.
The children running amok, yeah, I'm like, songs. Will you get the children on the field?
I was seeing Pedro Santos and Darlington Nagby's kids playing soccer in that box. I see the fireworks rolling. I'm like, they're not keeping the kids out there for the fireworks show. But the last goal ever scored at that stadium was by Pedro Sanchez. Yeah, Nordeca went nuts. That was great.
Yeah, it was really
actually
cute.
I went down to the field afterwards and scored the final goal down there. So sorry, Pedro's kid. So
I'm going down there tomorrow and
so
just to take that
old man Pat
from
trying to steal clout from like a 3-year-old. Well done.
Wow.
The worst.
I echo what all of you guys said. It was a really special day. You know, I made sure to get there early. I went out to the parking lot. I saw Bart. I don't know if he remembers. And I see Bart all the time, so that wasn't anything special. But I saw a lot of people that I hadn't seen in quite some time. You know, it was good to see you in the stadium, Brian.
Yeah.
And
likewise.
It was good to see Ori not wearing a mask, which he felt comfortable doing, so that was good. But, yeah, walking around the parking lot was really neat just to, you know, even some people that, you know, I don't know well, but, like, know because they're crew fans came up and wanted to talk and give hugs and everything. And, you know, as much flack as I think we've given this organization for a variety of reasons, including recently with the, you know, rebrand and stuff, credit to what they did. I mean,
I give
them
a 10 out of 10.
Yeah,
I thought the evening was beautifully organized, but not over organized, and they left room for a sort of an organic, letting the fans make of it what they want. I thought, you know, as silly as people trying to start the wave. It's like, we're trying to start the wave now? Yeah. You know, that didn't really get going. But then the cell phone lights, you know, it's yeah. like so corny, mm-hmm. but it's like, oh, that looks really cool. You know, I was in a corny mood, Todd.
Yeah, it was all very, very well done. You know, it felt right.
And I agree. Mojo Flow is it. I thought, what a perfect band to do the Concourse. Seriously. They're so good.
And,
you know?
Alex, I agree with you. Like, I left there feeling like I needed to feel, like, I did get emotional multiple times throughout the night, but I left there feeling like, you know, I feel like I should be more emotional. And, it, you know, it's a little different, like, Ori and I are going to be there tomorrow because they have practice at the, you know, outside the stadium. So, like, I'm still going to be around it, I guess, and maybe that's why. But, and I'm sure, you know, they'll do things down there and stuff like that. But, yeah, it, I don't know. It was really cool. And then, you know, afterwards, you know, Sam and some of the photographers and a few other media people, we had beers in the parking lot, you know, so we, you know, people, again, we hadn't really all seen each other much. So, you know, it was a lot of different people that I got to kind of see. And, you know, I was hoping to, you know, be able to go down. I did go down to the field. I did not actually score a goal because they'd taken the goals away. But I did go down to the field and take pictures out of the tunnel before I left. I wasn't sure if they were going to stop me or not, but there was no one there at that point. But, you know, it would have been nice to kind of see some of the guys and, you know, ask them about their stuff. But, you know, we're still not back to completely in person. But, yeah. Like you said, Brian, 10 out of 10. I thought, you know, everybody involved, fans, the crew, the players hanging out on the field afterwards in front of Nordic.
They totally got out our tour and BWP in the Nordic.
Yes.
Like, they were having a ball because I, like, turned around. I talked to Milton about, like, around halftime, and I saw Arthur and BWP, and I, like, wondered if, like, people were going to start moving around. And then when I, like, realized they're in the Nordeca, like, living it up, I was like,
oh, wow.
This night
that
is
I did
wonderful.
Not know.
Yeah, they were down there for, like, majority of the second half. Majority of it.
Were they having beers and just having a good time?
At the end when you saw, like, Minta and, like, Waylon all them running toward, they were, like, running to him and, like, teasing him. That was hilarious.
That's great. That's old school crew stuff. I mean, you know, when they used to bring a busload of players to the old Germain Amphitheater. I remember going to Kiss and Aerosmith, and all of a sudden this bus pulls up, and all these guys are poured off the bus, and we all sat on the lawn together. I mean, that's like a callback to the old school when that, you know, those guys, they
Frankie chugging a beer in front of the Nordic.
That was
classic.
The Dante, we're not worthy. That was terrific.
The whole thing was just amazing. I mean, I don't know. I hope that they will incorporate Historic Crew Stadium into the schedule in some way. I don't know if it's going to be Open Cup, or I don't know if you have Crew 2
play there.
See,
that's a good idea.
But, like, I know that there is going to be a desire among Crew fans to revisit that place that means so much to everybody. I mean, I think part of it for me was, like, you know, I grew up in that stadium, and now I'm not going to go there. And it was kind of like this realization that, like, man, I grew old, you know? Like, there was kind of, like, this thing of, like, there's been some years here, and, like, that is in the past, and, like, that part of my life is done now. And I think for most people, with sports in general, it's, like, you never want for that to be done. Like, even I remember when Save the Crew was going on, and we had that Legends game, and it was, like, one of the dumbest games I've ever seen, and yet it was by far the most beautiful game I've ever seen. Even though it was, like, a bunch of out-of-shape dudes, like, doing, like, joke set pieces and stuff like that. And
Kyle
just
Martino
walking around.
Would not appreciate you calling him out of shape.
Martino was some of them were out of shape. Let me put it that way. I don't think they could do 90 on a full-size pitch. Let me just say that. But it was beautiful because it was like, man, I'm getting to see Brian McBride play soccer in a Crew jersey again. And I don't care that he's been retired for 10 years. I don't care.
Hey, Ori,
I want to go back.
That's why Old Timers Day at Yankee Stadium, you're Yankees. That's why it's such a big deal.
Yeah,
people
for sure.
just want to see those guys in that uniform again.
And in general, those days where you have legends of past teams come and, you know, they get honored or they just have a nice pickup game. Or even just, you know, for like All-Star weekends where you just have like a celebrity softball game for the MLB or the NBA has their celebrity game. You want to see people you don't expect to be playing. So that's why that Legends game, for example, did make our Massive Report Stadium countdown. at, I think, number 9 for our most memorable moments. If you want to check that out, get nostalgic, you can.
Weird that that didn't make the cruise.
the cruise top 10 was a little confusing. They had Will Trapp's winner at 3. They coupled every Dosisero game as one moment into number 2. And then MLS Cup 2020 was number 1, which we both agreed on. But to Alex's point about, you know, having a game back at the old stadium, we've seen teams do that before. I'm pretty sure the Bucks in past years have played games at their old arena. In
Ohio State basketball, used to do that once a year, right?
So if you want to do, and I know MLB is going to try and do stuff at like Field of Dreams in Iowa, so trying to incorporate different venues. I think like an Open Cup game.
I think the Open Cup season is a perfect occasion to do that. And I think, you know, those games, they have trouble getting a crowd. I think that would get a crowd, right?
And if you had a Legends game with the community that we have and you charged $20 for admission or $10 for admission and you donated everything to the Crew Soccer Foundation, you would make bank. You could auction the jerseys off after the game. It would make so much. You know how much money I would bid on a game-worn Brian McBride jersey? Again, don't care that he's been retired forever. I will beat all of you. I don't care. Yeah. You know? Like, well, that would raise a bunch of money and it would be really fun.
Yeah.
I hope they figure something out.
Yeah. You know, but I went in and out of Saturday assuming, and this is silly, that I will never set foot in this place again, which is, I mean, there's a concert in August I might go to. I don't know. But I guess that's the way I'm wired, you know? It's like I look at life as sort of like beginning, middle, end, and everything has its chapter and everything has its moment. And this stadium, in a blink of an eye, I went to the first game. They had the highlights of the first game as part of their package. I'm like, that wasn't really that long ago, you know? And so many memories tie we crammed into 22 years. That's really a privilege to be a part of something where there's a place, a piece of geography that we all share, and we cram so many great memories into 22 years. That's extraordinary.
It's fun. It's even like if you really think about the scope of memories that we have there. It's not just a bunch of crew matches. We've seen like the U.S. men's national team. We've seen the women's national team in there. We've seen international opponents. We've seen obviously concerts as well. There's a lot of things that have happened.
2001 MLS Cup, San Jose, Landon Donovan announcing himself.
That was literally like his like coming out party, if you really think about it. Like Di Rosario, I think, scored like one
Di
of the
Rosario
last
scored, extra time goals. Goal to win MLS
that goal
Cup.
Is nuts.
Yeah. So like you've seen so much of that, and I think for me, again, I talk about excitement. I'm also excited about the like evolution of that place because I think we have heard that Crew 2 is going to play there pretty much.
Yeah.
So like seeing like the new world that it kind of lives in to me is very exciting. I'm excited to see what they like, how they activate it, as they say. You know, we're going to see what happens.
All the activations,
Well, regardless of what happens, I'm pretty confident that I'll be setting foot in there again. If there's a Crew 2 club, I'm going to want to go down and watch that, you know. I love minor league baseball, so I look at it the same way. You know, it's a cheap evening out. Hopefully the beer will be a little cheaper, you know. Yeah, I'm sold.
It's a good time.
I wouldn't count on beer being cheap. I mean, they've got to get it to the stadium. You know, they'll come up with some reason.
And especially if some of the players are going to be minors, too. That could also be interesting.
Yeah, may have to go old school and smuggle them in, huh, Bart?
Hey, you know, I plead the fifth on that one. I never did at any point.
I went to plenty of Washington State Cougar games back in my college days where we used a lot
cargo
of,
shorts.
We used a lot of Ziploc bags, and each bag had a little bit of something in each bag. And there were a lot of pockets. We had the pocket bar. Don't touch me, man. You're going to explode one of my Ziploc bags. I don't want wild turkey all over my shorts. You got that right. All right. Well, anybody else have any other thoughts on the stadium closing and the beautiful night that was Saturday? We can put a bow on this. Ty?
For me, the last Wiseman was magical.
Oh.
Because I've, in all the meetings I've been in about Nordic, I've always talked about how usually when we hear Wiseman, it generally is a little later after fans have left. It's not usually the entire Nordeca. It's about maybe like 600 of us. So for the first time to kind of really hear it full voiced was a completely different thing. And again, you're going to hear me say this a million times. I like think about new stadium. I think about like 20,000 people underneath the roof. singing it, and I'm just like, oh, this is going to be nuts. So, like, for me to hear it, like, kind of in a baby version of full Nordeca and full crowd singing it, that was the closest I would have been to tears if it was going to happen.
But you've also got, like, there's a dumb, and it's a bit of a gatekeeping conversation about, you know, soccer culture in the U.S. and what is plastic, that kind of stuff, but that is just, it's so authentic, and it's so unique, and you cannot say that we haven't developed a culture when something like that comes around, and you see all the players are all into it. To actually hear it for the first time where it really was ringing around the entire stadium, that's just so unique, and it was so awesome.
And just the atmosphere in general, and the players Caleb talked about it after the game, like, you know, the fact that, A, you haven't had this in so long. I mean, and I wrote about this today, like, this is the atmosphere you wanted for MLS Cup last year and the playoffs in general for those games, right? And you couldn't have that, and obviously that's a disappointment, but, you know, it is what it is. But they got that in that game, and that was awesome. And then, Ty, to your point, that kind of atmosphere, if you can create that in the new stadium with the roof and everything, it's gonna be insane. I mean, literally. it was as electric as I'd heard it in a long time. Yeah. You know, Caleb said after the game that, you know, he's been around, you know, a ton of MLS games. You know, Portland obviously is known for what they do. Mm-hmm. Seattle with their crowd. You know, I mean, name the stadiums he's taken part in, and, you know, he said this was one of the best MLS atmospheres he's ever been a part of.
I think we'd all, even taking bias away because we're all like crew fans, it literally was. I mean, I compared it to when I was saying that it reminded me of some of the Dos Acero games I've gone to where the entire stadium was engaged, they were loud, and again, like those last 15 to 20 minutes and after final whistle was just something else.
MLS Cup would have been,
yes,
if there was no,
yeah, oh my God. Absolutely.
It, honestly, like that, I don't like to talk about that as much because I know it would have been like even 10 times more. Like, it's,
oh, yeah. Oh,
it breaks my heart that we couldn't have it. But
we would have just broken Seattle their,
yes,
will.
Yes. But,
oh, Don Garber would not have again, showed up.
Again, going back to the excitement for new stadium, like, we get MLS Cup there.
Mm-hmm.
Lord, like, goodness gracious.
One thing I kept thinking about as I was leaving was how proud Lamar Hunt would have been if he could have seen that.
Sure. Yeah.
You know, Lamar Hunt, when we built Crew Stadium, he really went out on a limb, and there was not a real good business case for something like that. But he believed in the sport, believed in the league, and said, everybody else who's too afraid to put their money where their mouth is on this thing, mm-hmm, I'll do it. I'll be the first. And I don't care that the city's not going to help pay for it. I'll pay for it, and we'll get it done. And he did. And, you know, he built the stadium, and it was a great decision, and it paved the way for the league that we have that we see today.
It did.
And who knows where we would be if 100%. It didn't happen. So, you know, I was leaving thinking, thank you so much, Lamar Hunt, because, you know, it's been amazing.
I'm the old salt of this group. I'm so old that I remember the North American Soccer League. Go on YouTube and fire some of those games up. They played in multi-purpose football stadiums. Growing up in the Northwest, my high school soccer team would get on the bus and go to Seattle and see the original Sounders in the Kingdom. And that was a piece of cheap carpet stretched over concrete. They put teams everywhere. They had a team in Hawaii. The field was so hot in Aloha Stadium that their shoes were melting. There's a great book. I got to find it. It's in my house somewhere. I read it a few years ago. It was written by a British author about the North American Soccer League, what a disaster that was. And one of the big reasons why it was there are two reasons. Too many teams, no soccer-specific stadiums, mm-hmm, or culture, and no foresight to even bother to build that structure. It was all about adding teams. They had 30 teams at one point, I think. It was ridiculous. They put them everywhere. They put them in Edmonton. You know, can you imagine going to Edmonton?
Oh,
you know,
Lord,
in November in March? It was a joke. All right. So MLS, I think, was at a crossroads there. I don't think they knew it, but they were, and everybody was playing in borrowed stadiums on somebody else's field. They're not controlling their revenue. That should speak to their heart.
It's
revenue. Yeah. No, and they didn't.
It's historic far beyond just
Yeah, us as, it us might as have saved fans. The
it's,
league.
It's historic, you know? In the sense yeah. of American
and that's,
soccer.
And that's one of those where you kind of just felt like, and I don't know, maybe it was, and I'm sure there MLS in the league is going to make a huge big thing when we move into the new stadium. But it did seem like it was kind of an afterthought from just an MLS promotional standpoint. And I sure. feel like this is something that should have been a feature game. And I understand that I think Austin opened up either yep. that Saturday or the
time.
Sunday. So, yeah. And so, obviously, it's MLS. They're going to go with the new hotness. But for something that is such a central part of this league's history, that they wouldn't be here but for it, it seemed like, you know, something that they should have acknowledged a little bit more.
I agree with you. And I think I remember in 08 when we were out in L.A. for the Red Bull game, for the MLS Cup game, mm-hmm. Fans coming up to our tailgate, L.A. Galaxy fans, and saying, you know, hey, like, it's awesome that you guys opened that stadium in 99 because that, you know, the Galaxy mm-hmm. were it in MLS, right? And, you know, even though they hadn't won as many as maybe D.C., that was the team they want to make like the big thing. Mm-hmm. And so it was like, oh crap, we need this team to open a you know, it encouraged them to do it, to be that
second
team.
They were embarrassed. I hope yeah. they were embarrassed. Yeah. The other owners. You know,
so that got that going, and then Dallas opened one, also Lamar Hunt. And you know, it really, I mean, it got the ball rolling. And, you know, I think the word bells and whistles was used a lot last week, talking about how that stadium maybe didn't have all that stuff. It doesn't have the luxury suites that are going to make you money down at the new stadium or stadiums across the league. But as Caleb Porter put it, it's a good structure for soccer. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's got what you need. That's why I think it'll be a great venue for them to practice in. They're going to bubble it. They're going to put turf on the field so they have another turf field to use in the winter and things like that. And as we talked about earlier, the Crew 2 team is going to have a great home there. So the fact that they are keeping it around, you know, as you mentioned, Alec, yeah. you know, we've all talked about, like, maybe we won't be there as much as we were, but it's not going anywhere. And, like, I talked to Will Trapp, I talked to Greg Berhalter last week. Both of them were very excited that it wasn't leaving. And, you know, I think that's a sentiment we can all share.
And the actual pitch is going to be moved outside, right, and become one of those community fields. I thought I saw something about
that. Could
that.
Be.
I'm not sure. But if that is the case,
they're going to use the pitch, I think, in the stadium as a community field, and then there's going to.
But I mean the actual grass that they have now. I think I thought I saw that they're going to tearing it out because they're going
to
replace it with turf inside there.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah, sure. Maybe you know confirm it, but I think that'd be a great for it to still be used on and for it again to be something that the community is going to have, because that's the other part that you just love about this, that it is going to be that community sports park. You know, where kids that grew up or you know, maybe not grew up going to games there at Crew Stadium, but will still be able to have something special from it.
And the fact also that all of the Crew players, you know, now and in the future are going to train right next to the stadium at the mm-hmm. Ohio Health Performance Center, especially, you know, when Pat and I and other media members took that tour 2 weeks ago, they were emphasizing so much about how these 13, 14, 15-year-olds in the Crew Academy are going to be right next to a historic place and be able to talk to their idols and Lucas Elarayan, mm-hmm. Jossie Zardes, Jonathan Mensah, whoever, and be able to be with them all the time. And having that training facility at where the old stadium is, you know, it's just another testament to the club making an emphasis to make that place more of a landmark rather than seeing, you know, like Yankee Stadium, Shea Stadium, and these other old stadiums. Once they're done, they tear it down.
And, you know, it's building this structure, this stair-step system that we see all over the league, all over the world. You have any club in any league is going to have a system. That's why when you watch a Premier League game and they talk about a kid who's 21 and, well, he joined the Manchester United Academy when he was 12 years old, and it's just mind-blowing, but that's how it works, and that's the next step of the evolution in this country that we need to make. You've got to pluck those players out and develop them. It's important. So having that structure in place to do that is a beautiful thing. I want to circle back, because we kind of touched on it, about Ty wondering what the culture at the new stadium will be like in terms of tailgating, but more importantly in terms of NORDEC and what you guys have on your plate opening a new stadium, a new place to be, and probably a few different rules on how you can do things. You're scratching your head going, oh, yeah. So kind of give us an overview of what you guys are looking at to prepare not only for the first game but for the rest of the season in the new place.
So it's funny you ask me that because that's kind of actually what my role is. I've had to explain that a couple times now because I've been around the crew culture for a while, but I've been like a little more upfront about in the last couple of months or so. My role is how to take Nordica in general. How do we tell the story of the crew supporter within the walls of the team and the stadium and also outside in the community? So that's like the big picture, right? Dropping it down to like a mid-tier level of like discussing it. I'm also figuring out like what does game day look like for the Nordica supporter? What's it look like for someone who's been there since 96? What's it look like for someone who's brand new, which there are a ton of brand new people for this new one? And then also, like, obviously there's optics. What does it look like? What does it sound like? All those things come in. And then the culture. How do we, like, evolve the culture that we have now, but also, like, keep it real and authentic without it being like, oh, let's change this because someone else is doing it. Like, those are all the things I have to think about. And then, like, very, very short term, my whole thing is how does July 3rd look and run? Mm-hmm. So when you said that, I was like, oh, he's going to ask everything about what I'm doing right now.
Well, I don't expect you to have all the answers right now. That would be a lie.
I do.
Yeah. Will the TIFO have crew triangle in it?
So let's start at the beginning. First of all, I will say that I've been extremely impressed with the Nordica leadership in general. We have the right people in the right place at the right time for this moment. It is a big moment. I mean, we will be on national TV for this because I think, if I remember correctly, Austin opened up on TDUN or in Univision or something like that.
No, they were on Fox.
Was it?
Yeah, they were on Big Fox on Saturday night against San Jose.
What did I think it was on
Matthew
Twitter?
Matthew McConaughey was wearing a green suit, looked like he won the Masters, yeah, playing the really drum dumb. On the field. Not yeah. Really
well, I watched it on Twitter, so I missed that.
Oh, no, you're right. It wasn't on Fox. It was on Twitter.
Okay, I was like, yeah, I definitely watched it on Twitter. All right, but, but, like, we are getting, they are going to give us, like, full display. So a lot of things are going to be, like, honestly under a microscope. So there's a lot of pressure to, you know, make sure that we show our best selves. Like, honestly, what we showed last week or the Saturday is kind of, like, what we want to show. But there are a lot of just different challenges in this new building. Challenges that are ones you want to welcome, to be honest. The biggest thing for us, I would say, is the size of the Nordica. So we are all very comfortable with our, is it 1,800 person section right now? I think something like that.
Sounds about right.
The new one's 3,400. Mm-hmm. And I've had to explain to some people, like, who are currently in Nordica now, like, you are used to your corner. Imagine the entire wall from, like, say, your corner to the other corner. That is now Nordica, and they kind of couldn't wrap their minds around it, and it's higher. So there's so many, like, how do we make that person at the very top of Nordica feel just as a part of the culture as the person at the bottom who's earned it? And
it's very steep, too,
yes,
right?
It is a completely different.
If you're scared of heights, what you
do they have?
Is it okay?
Do they have railings in front of the seats?
Let's talk about this, okay. Actually. So one of my biggest points I brought up in a lot of our meetings with the front office is getting the supporters who are in that section in early. I know you guys have seen around the league people making fun of Austin and getting people in. I am actually really pro do what it takes to make, like, your stuff work. Those people, it was new to them. They had to get used to the culture. They learned the songs. For us, to be honest, it is such a different experience standing in the section. I want us to get comfortable. So you're going to see we are going to start releasing practices. And it's necessarily just because you guys get used to being in the section. Have any of you guys toured it yet at all? Mm-hmm. Okay. Standing in it is not the same as standing in Crew Nordica because it is an actual wall. So, like, the person's head in front of you is at your feet. So it's very, very steep. It's very
weird.
High. Yeah, it's very, very high.
I'm glad I'm medium.
If you are afraid of heights, I would rather you get comfortable in it. There are bars in front of you that support you. We're working on getting some of the seats down because I think you guys know most safe standing sections do not have actual seating. So we're working on making some of those sections for people to be more comfortable, sit down. It is actually that different. And what I would like for July 3rd is to have a section that we're looking on TV where you don't see people being like, how do I maneuver this? How do I work around? I want you to feel comfortable in that section. So keep your ears to the ground. We're going to be announcing. There's a couple of actual, like, practices for supporters to come in and just get used to being in it. I went in for the first time about a month and a half ago. And just standing with my mom, who's been in the Nordica for, like, years with me, she was like, I wasn't prepared for this. I can get used to it, but I wasn't prepared. And I, like, don't want that to show on July 3rd. I want us to all be comfortable in it.
So. And, of course, the point is that you want your most rabid fans on top of the field and intimidating the opponent.
Yes, and it will be, once it's full, not even full, it could be half full and that thing's intimidating. Visually, it's intimidating.
But you want it full.
Yes, 100%. It's going to be full. It's sold out. I'm very happy. It's going to be. But I'm like seeing, like, just even the fact that the roof is going to project sound down, everything about it will shift the entire Nordica from what we've known to what it's going to be.
I think from a sonic perspective, fans are probably going to be shocked at how loud they are as a group, right? Whether they be singing or just cheering.
Mm-hmm. I think it's going to be surprising in the best way. It's kind of like I've had friends who've never gone to a game who were very pleasantly surprised by last game. Like, oh, the stadium was loud. I'm like, prepare yourself for this next route. So for me right now, I think the biggest challenge for us is because of the exact section being now 3,400 people, we're going to have over 1,000 people who have never been in a Nordica situation. I want to avoid the gulf of I've been in Nordica and I haven't. I don't want that to be apparent. Right. I want it to be very, very just kind of like wrap arms around these new individuals.
Nordica, no. Yeah. Yeah. Nothing like that. What?
And I get what you're saying. Mm. One of the things, and I was talking to somebody about this on Saturday, is so many people that may or may not, you know, you may have been to crew games and kind of recognize the chants, but you may have never been a part of them. You know, like, so knowing the word, you want to sound right too. So like, you want everyone to take part. You don't want people disengaged 10 minutes in because they've never, done the whole thing before.
There's going to be a lot of intentional, I use the word a lot, obviously, backward, but a lot of activations that make it make sense. I use it now in an ironic way, but one of the biggest things we brought to it was that there has to be that community, like, feel like I'm a part of this. So when we talk about the chants, right, we want to make sure there's either the lyrics are actually in the program or we're working on, like, QR codes to be able to pull it up. And we're actually even thinking about, like, not necessarily just for the Nordica, but for, like, the entire stadium so they know what's going on. Because, again, new stadium is going to have people that have never been to a crew game or don't even know soccer in general. Why are these 3,400 people just losing their damn minds over here? Like, what's going on? So it's kind of an introduction to, like, this is soccer culture. This is Columbus soccer culture. And all that will kind of be packaged together so we can all join in with song, chant, dance, and everything. I think there'll be a new energy around the stadium that I'm really looking forward to.
Ty, I'm having a weird thought now. Yeah. I'm thinking of when I was a kid and we would walk into my Methodist church as a child and the hymnals would be on the pews. Mm. And they would have a program to tell you what you're going to sing. Mm. I mean, in a way, that's kind of what you're trying to do, right? You're planning the service, so to speak.
See, in a way, and that's the crazy thing about soccer. We want as many organic moments to happen. Because I don't want it to be, like, so scripted. We're like, on the 34th minute, we're going to break out.
Right. We're not going to sing Onward Christian Soldiers after the
but
sermon.
What we want to do as the supporters group is to, like, create the sandbox, right, for the organic moments to happen in a cohesive and organized manner. I mean, a lot of the bigger supporter groups around the world are very organized. So there has to be that element to it.
Yeah.
And I think that's the one thing you'll see stepped up from this year. The humans who are involved right now are just phenomenal. Like, I've been talking a lot to Andy and John, who are the capos, and the ideas they have to, like, bring this thing to life are going to be, like, because they can do it in this new stadium. Like, they couldn't do it physically in the old stadium. Things they have wanted to do, they'll now be able to do.
It's a new canvas,
it really, really is.
Yeah.
And I know that, like, back when the Nordec first formed, you know, that was something that they did for probably that first year or two, was hand out songbooks. Mm-hmm. And I think that helped a lot early on. I think that obviously things have changed and, you know, people come and go and whatnot. But, like, I think that did, especially, like, I was in college at that point. I would bring people to games that just wanted to go because we could tailgate in the parking lot and they could get drunk.
Yeah.
But, like, that, I know a lot of people that were like, okay, I feel more included now because I can at least follow along if I'm not actually singing. And you mentioned some of the best supporters groups in the world. I mean, those people have grown up with them, right? So, like, ideally that's where you guys get, but it's got to get there for, you know, like, it takes time.
So about the future, like, I know you guys have questions about, like, what new things will look. I'm going to leave it with this real quick too. I will love every supporter of the crew, but also Nordica in general, to honestly treat this new stadium, this new era, as like a fresh slate to create something new.
Sure.
I think there's a needle we can like thread the needle of respecting the old traditions and also doing the things that worked, but also allowing the new things that we honestly just have the opportunity to do in this new stadium. I want to let those breathe. And I think that will come together in a way that creates one of the best atmospheres in Columbus. Like, I've been around the league and seen other stadiums. We don't want to copy anyone, but I do want these other places to like respect us. And I think we've now been propped up to showcase like Columbus soccer supporter culture in a way that's completely different.
As long as there's no come on Seattle fight and win, then I'm all right.
There you go.
Are you able to talk about the post goal celebration things that I've heard a rumor of?
You know, it's funny. I literally texted Jeff. I was like, "Hey, what can I talk about? What can I?" And they were like, "Let's just say this. There will be a very unique storytelling piece that I think will appeal to a lot of people, in particular 96ers. I absolutely love it. And there's been a lot of work to make sure it's still original and not buying in. And I think we kind of hinted...
I don't like where this is going. Okay. I have a feeling I'm getting like Portland Timber Joey vibes, and I hate it. So I just want to say this right now.
So
I hate it.
Let's say this. That voice was in the room immediately. And we were like, how do we avoid that? So know this.
No chainsaws, we are working, Alex. No
we are working very hard to avoid that. Because like, I think first meeting was brought up. Immediately was like, let's not do that.
Yeah, because I think of like Timber Joey, and then I think of like Atlanta, and then I think of like, oh no, they're going to copy the hammer and nail thing that Atlanta does. If it's like one of these, like some sort of an action takes place from like a mascot thing,
you're gonna put drywall
like,
somewhere.
It's like for every goal, I'm gonna hate it. I trust you guys.
I will say trust the process on this one. And,
is
and
the
only
crew
because
gonna come out and like frame a garage or something? You bring out a pile of 2x4s and you frame something in.
Yeah, no, there's like something 2x4, some drywall. Just build a house right there. You start the construction. The more goals they score, the more the house gets done. Exactly.
And then lower.com can help somebody buy it.
Yeah,
this is beautiful. And this is honestly the way I would have loved the answer to come out, but know that we are being very sensitive to that.
Is this the smokestack thing? Because I heard about this. That was in like a dispatch.
You know what?
Article,
let's
it?
Just do this. For the next 5 minutes, just pepper me with questions, and I'll give you PC answers to all of
no,
them.
No, I think we've come up with the concept here is that you have a big trailer maybe outside the stadium, and every goal that's scored, something is added to the house.
Yeah.
And then you score enough goals and the house is finished, and you take it off somewhere and give it to a needy family, and it's brought to you by lower.com.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's and bring in Habitat for Humanity, and we build the house of goals.
I just worry about, like, at the rate that we were scoring, at least at the beginning of this season, you know, I want
to
make sure that this
downsize
is
to like
house.
A
it'll be a cardboard box at that video.
You know what, Ty, you're a smart guy. You're surrounded by great people. I trust you guys. Alex, just calm down.
No, but the thing is,
calm
again,
down,
but, like,
man.
I think you
it'll be fine.
You guys have heard me say this before. All of our voices deserve to be heard. Mm-hmm. So, like, there's people who, again, who have just been introduced to the brand. They have no idea. We have people who have been around since the beginning who have ideas. All of these ideas matter. And that's, what, again, like, as soon as our idea came up, I was like, this needs to make sure this makes sense.
I don't want to know anymore. I want to be surprised.
Yeah, I want to be surprised. And you will be, because you're not getting any more out of that from me. But on the end of, like, bringing, like, old to new, a lot of this has been talked about. How do we bring, like, tailgate culture over? How do we bring that over? There's going to be opportunities that we're working on currently to make that live and breathe. It will be a little different, but I think it will be like, because honestly, real talk, the space doesn't allow for a traditional tailgate. I mean, there's going to be, Astor Park is going to be developed, number one. There's not going to be any flat parking lots. But because of just like who we are as Crew Nation, we understand the need for like tradition, right? We're going to make sure that lives and breathes in a way I think that people will enjoy and appreciate. Pat has a question
for
me.
No, it's just, I was just going to say, like, you know, I know that for some people, like, comparing the Crew and Ohio State football is taboo, but, like, there's not a lot of tailgate space down by Ohio Stadium, given how many people go to those games. People still figure out how to have a good time. You know? So there's ways to do it.
And that's why I tell people all the time, like, I wouldn't worry as much about it. Like, I understand, like, your valid concerns, but as you said, we've made it happen before. We're going to make it happen here, and it'll be a way that, like, we all can appreciate and
love. I'm just going to Betty's.
Yep.
You know, it seems pretty simple.
How many of us can fit in Betty's?
Exactly. You and 5,000 other people have told me the exact same thing.
I'm
going to
get there early.
Like, Betty's is like, yes, but oh my God, help. So,
well, you just got to hope that they're open. You got to call ahead of time and make sure they're going to be there.
but overall, there is a lot of intentionality with the, not just the Nordica experience, but the crew fan experience from our end. And I'm like really excited to like help bring that stuff to life. I say, honestly, July 3rd, I think, is going to make us proud. But honestly, end of year, like, will make you even prouder, if that makes any sense. There's going to be a lot.
It'll be a tough game, though. Matt Turner in goal, New England Revolution.
Oof. We talked about this prior.
So, I have a question.
Yes.
And this is actually T4 related. The rigging system is a bit different from... It basically takes a different TIFO than what we've normally been used to in the Nord deck. What's the adjustment like, or are you guys kind of planning for that adjustment?
That's a very good question. It's going to actually be more of a process. And I'm not talking about the production, the planning, and you know, painting and stuff. The actual lifting of the TIFO is extremely different. As Sam said, there's a rigging now. We have learned it will take a team to do so. We're working through right now, like, how do we do that game day? Like, are we, like, having the team planned out beforehand? Are these people, like, signing up? Because I can say this. It's going to take at least 20 to 30 people, and that's on a small TIFO. If we want a bigger one, it could take 50, 60, and that's a real
thing. And I assume these are, you know, at least somewhat sober people.
They're
going
to have to be.
Will there be
they're going to have to be.
Will there 100%. Be a fitness test? there probably should be.
A lot of different people tried it out. You definitely work. It's not like, oh, my God, I'm going to die, but it is definitely work to it. But I believe that, like, obviously when it all comes together, it will all still work well. There's a lot of – there's little kinks. We're going to have a couple of TIFO practices. And, again, keep ear to the ground, because if any of you want to be a part of that, we're going to broadcast that, because it's going to be practiced. It's going to have to be practiced before July 3rd and, honestly, any other games that we do. It's just more of a actual, like – I will say, like, we almost need a project manager for the TIFO in itself. That's how much different it is. And I've been talking to other leaders across the league at Atlanta – at Seattle, Portland as well, because they've had experience doing the bigger TIFOs. And to be honest, it's what we kind of need. We're so used to just having it go over our heads. This is a completely different thing. So,
Alex, it's going to be fine.
Talking to Seattle about TIFO, man, that takes me back in a bad way.
It's going
to
be fine.
Last time we talked to Seattle about TIFO, it was how they could take over our stadium for Dos Azeros.
Turns out they got the capos they wanted, though.
Man.
Their TIFOs are probably owned by Aiden
Morris.
I think
they've been shown where they belong in the pecking order. We don't take a backseat to anybody.
I'm very excited.
Ty, thank you so
it.
Much for the information, and I want you to hang out as we transition tonight's episode into actual games that we have coming up, including one that's easy to forget, but it's pretty darned important, and it's not the Austin game. It's Wednesday in Philadelphia. Mm-hmm. As far as the table goes, This is one that we need to get a result from, and we'll talk about that in just a moment. But Murph was waving his pint glass in the air, so we got to get to the bar here at Saucy and reload.
Get sauced at Saucy Brew Works.
We started doing this back in person at a bar for a reason. So
the good times.
Bart was
the
only one drinking at home, I think.
Yes. Well, I've been known to do that. You know, we were on Zoom together. Mm-hmm. It was fine. It's great to have everybody back. Ty, again, thank you so much for your insights, and please stay for the entire
Do you have anything else
going on?
No, I'm here for the entire thing.
I like hanging
and then
out
also,
with you,
if
man.
I can, real quick, just to like, because I want to dive into also the soccer side of things. From the Nordica, I will say this. Again, I am not paid by anyone to say anything good about this, but it is a completely different world, and I really would love every crew fan to come in with an open mind and not in a like a patronizing way. Just like it's so different than anything we've ever had. The things that you dream personally about happening in this stadium could literally happen in this stadium. That's literally what we're walking into. It's going to blow your mind. It's going to be beautiful. And I'm excited for every human that gets to be able to take part of it. So.
You know, I have purposely not taken part in any sort of tour, any sort of hard hat thing that I'm sure I could figure out how to make happen. I've purposely not done that, because I want my first experience to be that first night when the gates open and we walk in. I'm going to be in the opposite side of Nordica. because I'm old and my wife would not put up with standing for the whole game, but I will enjoy the show from
We're
I think
put
a great
show on
vantage
just
point.
For you. Just
Thank
for you.
You.
I'm going to be like, guys, listen. This
old farts across the web.
They need this. Yeah, I'm excited.
Old Deca, we'll call it.
There we go.
Yeah, because I think old farts is technically a supporter group.
It is, yeah. But there is like a large contingent of ex-Nordeca like people who just kind of aged out of it that sit in the South Side. They call themselves South Side Casuals.
Yep.
So you just have to
That's
apply
where
for
I
that.
Am. I'm behind the goal in 107.
I'll put you in touch with Blake. We'll get you sorted out.
I want to be able to sit down and enjoy my bratwurst.
There we go.
All right. We're going to take a break. We're going to go to the bar, and we'll be back for more on the Massive Report podcast as we get you ready for Philadelphia and Austin. We'll find out who cares about Austin and who doesn't coming up in just a moment. We are back on the Mass Report podcast. We are all properly refreshed here at Saucy Brew Works here at 3rd Michigan. Ori, I'll have you do the copy later. We'll do it at the end. But we're having a good time at Saucy. We talked about the beautiful celebration that was the classic Crew Stadium, as I like to call it. And we talked a little bit about what Nordeck will look like in the new stadium and the challenges, some of them engineering related, as we're finding out from Ty. But a lot of people are putting their brains together and coming up with something that I'm sure is going to be something we can all be proud of. But kind of bearing the lead here is that we have a soccer team to talk about, a dominant 2-0 win over a terrible Chicago Fireside. They are embarrassingly bad. I was proud of their fans for coming down from Chicago because they had nothing to cheer for.
They do it every year like idiots. They just keep coming back to get beat down. And we get to sing for them every year. You came a long way just to lose.
I think that chant's funny because it's not that long. Like, it's better when you actually the Portland –
It's long to watch that. It's a long trip.
I thought the Chicago fans coming was fitting because if you remember back in the day when Chicago fans used to come to games, they would break bleachers and steal things.
Yeah.
And like, if you're going to close a stadium, those are the people to help you shut it down. Yeah. Right? Like, that made a lot of sense to me.
I didn't see anything like that, but they're kind of, you know, buried up in the corner and they got their buses there. I stood in line for a beer with some Chicago fans. I didn't see anything untoward. It was mellow. It wasn't Toronto fan, for crying out loud.
That franchise has sucked the energy out of them and the passion, and they are just, you know,
I don't blame them.
At least they got the new logo, though.
They're so depressing.
The rebrand is not too bad.
Yeah, it's...
Most games we do like a question exchange with the other SB Nation site, and when I sent the guy who runs the Chicago site is also named Patrick, and usually he's very upbeat and gives me really good answers. These were all like 3 or 4 sentence responses. I was like, oh, wow, he's really beaten down right now.
A lot of the Chicago people like don't even like it. Like, I think soccer people like it, but like the Chicago fans themselves don't even like this new rebrand again.
It looks too cartoonish for me.
It's better than
that. That's the least of their problems, though.
It's because their last logo looked like it was like a character from like an Atari game.
I literally made it with clip art on a PowerPoint.
Oh, it's so easy.
Microsoft 2007.
That's how they built this roster. I mean, you look at any time you have, you don't have to know much about soccer to know that when a goal is scored against you and the two central defenders are screaming at each other
with their goalkeeper,
you know that this team is a hot mess. And it happened twice that the open net Jossie Zardes' goal was an absolute embarrassment.
But that Mensa ball, though.
Yeah, I mean, the fact that...
Absolutely. We broke them down, but the fact that at the end of the day there was no defense for that for that goal, I mean, that told you everything you needed to know. And Barrich didn't start the game. Was he hurt or...?
Slightly a bit, yeah. And then obviously their best winger, Frankowski's on international duty with Poland at the Euros, so he was not playing, but...
One of the things Patrick did respond to in our brief brief question exchange was that he was actually looking forward to seeing what their offense looked like without Frankowski, because it's just gotten so stale that like they're hoping for anything. You know, Barrich was I said this in my responses to his question. I thought Barrich was going to win newcomer of the year over Zelayan last year. He scored 12 goals.
Yeah.
And was, you know,
he was good.
And he wasn't, didn't even play all the games. So, you know, he's a guy who has one goal this year because they can't get him the ball. Yeah. I mean, as you know, I am sure Fire, well, we're not talking to Fire fans, so it doesn't matter. But, you know, he's a streaky goal scorer, and I imagine at some point he will score. But, you know, he's not getting any service.
No,
I mean,
no,
they,
none.
They,
not at all.
Zero.
They, it's usually not good when we say, I'm sure at some point he will score. Like, it's usually not a good a good comment to be made.
That's me talking about Josh Williams. That shouldn't be you talking about your 12 goal scorer.
Actually, I would rather put Josh Williams up front than whatever bomb they had.
Josh did score.
He scored.
He basically headed the Shuttlesworth down, and the ball went in the net.
Yeah.
And but more about,
so excited.
More about that second goal. That's a perfect highlight where you know your defense is terrible, because you can never, ever, ever let any opposing center back pass 60 yards upfield to a winger that's just running into wide open space.
Also,
Etienne,
who's cut in way off the line. He was, yeah, like so inside the pocket, he was out of the pocket.
Etienne was onside. Mensa picked out the pass, and then it was just, you know, a FIFA goal. At that
and
point.
As to the point in the anatomy of a goal at MassReport.com, he had so many choices offered to him.
Seriously.
Yeah. It was the only more, we have more beer choices here at Saucy than he did, but not by much. He had six outlets that he could have played, and
Jonathan, you mean
Jonathan?
Yeah,
he is such a great passer, and that's the thing that with all of his winning in the air and his organization and his leadership skills that we forget about is that guy is a sharp passer.
Excellent,
and he sees the whole field, and he made that goal and made it easy.
Pretty much. And Caleb Porter did point out after the game that first half was the best first half of the season. He had thought initially it was the Toronto first half, and before that, probably the second half against second Toronto first half. And before that, it was probably the second half of the Monterey game. But I guarantee you, Caleb Porter told his guys before that game, it's the last game here. It's going to be emotional. We got to give these people a show. Be aggressive. Run at defenders. Take shots. They were shooting the ball like crazy. Pedro Santos, Williams, and Mensa were just tackling guys all over. Pedro was playing possessed.
Oh, best left back in the league.
Pedro is a freak at left
two
back.
Two games at left back, and he's
back
my MLS
heel.
Team of the week.
Yeah, that was sick.
Like,
the first
20 minutes
sick.
Of that game, like, I'm an AC Milan fan. Like, I literally was like, oh, my God, Paolo Maldini has been reborn as, like, some little Portuguese dude who's, like, killing it in Major League Soccer.
Oh,
he was so good. Like, his hustle, he was, like, sprinting back just so that he could slide tackle the ball out of bounds. Like, all it
tackles
was.
Were timed perfectly.
All it was like, like to save it from being a corner kick to a throw-in, and he was sprinting back. I love it.
Crazy thing is, I think because Crew Nation has kind of been like on the fence of Pedro, the one thing I would say his entire time here, he's always been more of a defensive player.
Yes.
He will always
track
back. And like he brings that technical side, so when he does get it, it shifts a little bit. So he's like Milton with the experience. So
that's a great point, Ty, because I think we think of his offensive production. You know, when he scores, it's usually something that you want to see again and again. That we forget that he is suited to that role just fine, as he's shown us.
Well, and he talked about after the Toronto game, that when he plays left back, he sees more of the field because he's further back.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you start positionally further back. So, you know, it kind of opens things up as opposed to playing high like they usually do with the wingers. And he cuts in a lot and things like that. It, you know, it allows him to do some different things with this game. To the point about that Ori made about, you know, the guys coming out and Caleb Porter pointing out a lot of emotion, there were six defenders on the bench just because of injuries and stuff like that. You had to come out and score. Like, you couldn't go in the second half hoping to bring somebody on to change the game for you.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I'm sure that was part of it. And like I said earlier, with the crowd being as awesome as it was, that definitely helped spur those guys on. But yeah, it's a good thing they scored twice in the second half or in the first half, because there was no, you know, game-changing. I mean, Kevin Molino did come on, which was great to see. But
it was good to see,
but
just to see him out there.
Right, so but he's not, you know, he's not ready
he's
to be that to guy yet. Though the injury report did come out while we were recording this. He is not listed at all, not even
good.
As questionable.
Ooh,
so,
good.
You know, positive sign.
I mean, maybe starts against Philly or Austin potentially. I mean, they do have to rotate. Mm-hmm. And we were saying off podcast, but we're going to talk about it shortly here. Yes, Austin is going to be a big game Sunday night. You know, it's a game that Anthony Precourt probably didn't want to actually happen. You know, the Crew playing Austin FC, but it's happening. It's here. But that Philly game on Wednesday is a more important game when you're talking about the table. And the Eastern mm-hmm. Conference table is stunning. 9-point difference between 1st and 10th. And right now, Toronto, Cincy, and Chicago are lagging behind hard in the Eastern West. Conference table.
Mm-hmm. Which is stunning when you talk about Toronto. They handled us pretty good that first time around.
Chris Armas has never done it for me.
Yeah.
Was. He was a great player.
It was the most underwhelming hire for me. Like, yeah. I remember being like, why?
It didn't work with Red Bulls. Yeah. It's not working there. I mean,
well, I've he's burnt the bridge with Josie already, right?
And I've read a decent amount of their stuff because one of the writers that covers them I really like. And, you know, there are...
Kurt Larson?
No, Kurt does not cover them anymore. But, you know... I don't know why we don't need to go down a big Toronto thing, but, you know, they are in the same boat as Chicago right now, which is, you know, this is a team who finished above the Crew last year in the standings, and, you know, it's a mess there right now, just a mess.
I really appreciate you bringing up Kurt Larson, because that's like one of those, like, garbage MLS
friend of the
writers.
Podcast, Kurt Larson. He's been on it multiple times.
Well, I'm sorry really? I just yeah, said I garbage there, because, sorry about that, Kurt. kind of forgot he existed, so that was a blast from the past there. But no, I like seeing Toronto kind of return to their you know, home turf of being absolutely terrible at Major League Soccer. You know, they had the couple year period of time where they had Bez and things were clicking, and they had, you know, Josie and Michael Bradley, and they were, you know, still feeling it, and, you know, still pretty pretty. Oh yeah, yeah. Javinko was crazy,
yeah.
And then it all fell apart. And you know, you just hate to see it. You really hate to see it.
It's really
in those wonderful fans up there, the Inebriati. You know, they are just so great, great people. That's their actual name. I'm not making that up.
Wait, what's the name again?
Inebriati. That's what they call it. It's like their ultras group who throw crap at other fans generally, you know, bad. Bad
they're
sports.
Canadians are nice people, except for Toronto FC mm-hmm. fans.
You just, you know, other you, than you that, hate to
have
see
you
it.
Seen when the Vancouver Canucks lose Stanley Cups?
Well, okay.
There's another example.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's move on.
I saw
pivoting back.
The people, the couple kissing in the midst of all that.
There was a lot of love.
There was a lot of
Philadelphia, Wednesday, which I hate these Wednesday games, especially when they're important and they're on the road.
They turn into trap games and they shouldn't be.
Yeah, but they haven't played in 3 weeks, so the league's like, we're going to have a full match day on Wednesday. There's going to be like 10 games on Wednesday.
So Philadelphia drew with Atlanta on Saturday. Comeback draw, 2-2. They're about where we thought they would be. What, if anything, surprises us about them? What should we be looking for?
They're the full package. I mean, you look at, you know, everybody talks about teams that are in the CONCACAF Champions League and how they start off an MLS play. Columbus has played very well since CCL's been done. You know, they're on 3 straight wins. Philadelphia has not lost in quite some time. I'm pretty sure they only have 2 losses in the table. And big comeback draw against Atlanta, the team that they really embarrassed in the quarterfinals of the CONCACAF Champions League. Atlanta couldn't hold the lead. Jacob Glesnes ripped an amazing goal. One of the goal of the year candidates for sure, you know, akin to something, you know, what Patrick Schick did for the Czech Republic at the Euros. And
for Christensen today.
Christensen for Denmark. I mean, amazing.
Wait, I haven't seen any of that yet.
Yeah, so you got to see the highlights there on YouTube. Cool. But Philadelphia is right there at the top of the table. But this is a big game for the Crew. It's what I like to call a 6-pointer because you're playing a team that you're right next to in the table. So if you beat them, you don't just catch up with, you know, the table as a whole. You're catching up with the team you're right next to, so you get that advantage. And it's even more important for the Crew to come away with 3 points or a point because they have a game in hand on Philadelphia. So they're only 1 point behind with a game in hand because they caught up to them this past weekend. So Wednesday is huge.
And I would
Patrick, sorry, Ty. I just wanted to quickly get, because I know there's a quick turnaround. You probably haven't had a lot of time to discuss anything with anyone, but injuries are always a big deal with this club. And we saw that on Saturday night. It was a different lineup again. What are we looking at on Wednesday? Who's in? Who's out?
Yeah, so as I mentioned earlier, the injury report came out while we were recording this. Artur and Bradley Wright Phillips are still out, which is unfortunate. Obviously, Aiden Morris also. But those are the only players listed as out, which is an upgrade. Yeah, Luis Diaz, Perry Kitchen, and Milton are all questionable. I would not be surprised to see maybe all three of those guys at some point in these two games. You know, we've seen Milton in training the couple times we've been out there. Luis Diaz, we did not see last week, but Perry Kitchen was out there. So I would imagine that they start to get these guys back. The Bradley Wright Phillips one is unfortunate because, you know, obviously with you know, coming here and being that backup to Giassi, I really thought that was going to be big. So I hope he can get back soon. Obviously, a lot of season left to be played. And, you know, our tour's been battling this all season. It's unfortunate. I honestly, just speculation on my part, they just want to get him right. Mm-hmm. And, like, if that means listing him as out and having him sit for a couple weeks, adding on to this break, you know, do what you got to do to get that guy right, especially if Perry Kitchen can get back and play. You saw Liam Frazier play pretty
bad.
Well.
Yeah, he was fine. He was like, you want that role, if nothing else, to be a guy at the end of the game that you don't talk about.
Yes.
You know, and that's kind of a bummer for him, I guess. But at the end of the game, I'm like, yeah, I mean, I didn't notice anything. So it's a beautiful thing. It's like being an offensive lineman. You know, he did fine. Right, Ty?
I'm talking about Frazier, right?
Yeah.
Actually, so it was funny. Maybe 10 minutes in, realized he was actually playing. And which is going to. But, like, I was like, he actually had way more of a physical presence. And I would say, like, he was Perry Kitchen without, like, the bravado and bite that he has. Mm. And he did everything right. He gave Darlington freedom to be Darlington, which the man is just, we'll talk about
goodness.
Him forever.
I mean, that's we take him for granted at this point. But and I love just watching his pirouettes, you know?
He's so quick. But Frazier, like, was just calm and collected back there. He reminds me of, like, when Will would sit back. And be that, like, that 6 or 8 type of thing. Like, he literally just let the ball kind of, like, settle into him and just spread it out. That was all he needed to do. Make the tackles he needed to make and connect the passes. That was it. And
enjoy
I thought he did
as
well.
Much Liam Frazier as you can because he's probably going to be with Canada during July for the Gold Cup. He might not get a lot of game time for that tournament, but he's definitely going to be on the senior team.
But the silver lining is Etienne and Aloy Room, we don't have to worry about at least with any more World Cup qualifiers.
That too, yeah. They will not be welcome.
And one thing I was told this weekend about Liam Frazier was that, and I thought this people will like this, because of the loan, he couldn't play against Toronto in the game beforehand. He was pissed, I was told, that he couldn't play against Toronto. He is not happy that they loaned him out. Again, this is just what I was told. And he's liking his time in Columbus. So I don't know what... you know, could come of this. It's probably in all likelihood that he ends up back, you know, at the end of the loan. But a guy who was fired up to play for the Crew, and, you know, obviously you're playing for the defending MLS Cup champions. But
he's not just some flunky. He's on the Canadian national team, you know?
So, you know, I mean, if he can continue to impress, obviously, you know, they've got a flurry of central midfielders. I mean, Sebastian Berhalter is a guy who was sent on loan on their own. But, you know, just an interesting tidbit somebody told me this weekend was he was not happy that he couldn't play against his old team.
The elephant in the room, so to speak, is Eloy Room. What do we know about his status?
He will be available, it looks like. He's not on the injury report. There was pictures that the Crew posted on Monday afternoon. He got his championship ring at training. Mm-hmm. So, essentially, he couldn't play the game on Saturday because he was in a mandatory quarantine from international break. And he, you know, we saw Evan Bush play, get a clean sheet in his first game, but
That was another silver lining. You know, you want your backups to get some minutes at some point.
And he's going to have to get a lot of minutes soon. Aloy Room's going to start for Curaçao at the Gold Cup. They're already in the group stage. They don't have to play through preliminaries. And looking at the Gold Cup prelim rosters, you've got 7 Crew players included. Right now, I would say the one that you kind of want to make sure is still with the team is probably Jossie Zardes, especially if Bradley Wright Phillips is dealing with a serious injury, because who's going to play striker at that point?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and Zardes in the preliminary 60-man roster, is that what it is? Yeah, 60-man roster for the Gold Cup. So I would not be surprised if he ends up on the team.
60-man roster, yeah, that was pretty crazy. Congrats on making the roster, Pat. I thought that was really impressive.
Well, I think it was only because Greg agreed to talk to me for that story that he included me on the roster.
There we go.
But to be selfish, I would like him to hang around because we need him. You know, I mean, that's.
I mean, if you don't have Jossie or Bradley, who do you put up top at striker? I probably put my
Josh
top,
Williams.
Or Josh
there we
Williams.
Go. There we go.
Or Derek Etienne. I mean, he's played up there for Haiti in the past.
Yeah.
I, it's again. I'm going to bring this back from last season, but You know, Luis Diaz, man.
No,
he's got some
I don't mind Lucho. I don't mind Lucho.
If you had Lucho or Matan up top together also, that would be really fun to watch.
Matan, we need
this is getting Godfather length, so we need to kind of start getting to the finish line here.
The good one, part three.
Yes. Yes. We need to wind this thing down. So let's make our Philly picks and move on to Austin real quick, because I'm sure there's a few comments on the panel about them. So I'll start. I'll just go around the table because it's easy. Bart.
I think that Kerr gonna win this one. Go out to what, Westchester, right?
Just Chester.
Subaru
Park.
Apologies. But they go. They'll take care of business. We're going to go with 2-1.
2-1. Wow, mm-hmm. It's going to be a rough one. 2-1 for you, Ty, as well. Okay.
1-0 Matan scores.
Ooh, Matan.
I thought he looked good the other night.
First trip for the Crew to Pennsylvania in 2 years, which is just kind of nuts to think about.
Especially because they played so many times last year.
Yeah, they played I think twice or three times last year.
And Crew had their number.
They did. They won twice in Columbus. That big win on November 1st when Christian Nemeth scored 44 seconds.
Christian season.
But my prediction, I'm actually going to say that it's going to be a 1-1 draw. I think Philly's really, really good, and Columbus doesn't have the full health quite yet, so I think it'll be a draw.
I'm also going to say a draw. I think it'll be 0-0, though. I think these were the two best defenses in the league last year. I think they probably are up to that close. It'll be interesting to see what they do in goal for the Crew. Just, you know, quick turnaround. Do you stick with Evan Bush after he played well? Or a guy who, you know, Aloy Room won't have a lot of time to train once he's been back. But I think both goalkeepers are capable. Both teams played. The Crew actually have one more day rest because Philly played on Sunday. I don't know how big of a deal that makes, but I'm going to say a 0-0 draw. Same result Philly got here, but I think you feel okay with that if you're the Crew. You go to Philly,
sure.
You get a result.
Get a result. I'm going to say 1-0 Crew, and Kai Wagner is going to haul down Jossie in the box. In something that's reminiscent of the horrible red card that should have been in the in the Champions League, he's going to get us back. Or, you know, get somebody back for that. It's going to lead to a penalty kick late.
And Josh Williams takes it and chips the keeper?
Yeah, sure. Why not?
Williams Panenka.
Why not?
Yes.
Why not? Sam, did you have a pick? 1-0. Crew? All right. Sure. All right. We're on the same page. All right. Let's move on to Austin.
The ATX.
What's the name of their stadium again?
Q2 Stadium.
It's very green. Do we like it? I haven't seen it yet.
It's actually Verde.
Verde.
I don't know. I'll let you know next week.
Are you going?
I'm going. Yeah.
Really?
We're covering
the
game.
Are you covering?
Game. Yeah, I'm covering the game.
Wow.
So yeah, I'll let you know.
Master Report paying to fly you down, and room and board and everything.
Nope.
It's great.
No comment.
I'm not getting paid for this podcast, but it's cool. They're covering.
Yeah,
no, I'm just kidding.
Yeah. No comment on that.
It's
no.
Coming out of the Master Report / fund.
Yeah, right.
Well, I think only. We need someone embedded. I'm fascinated by this whole thing.
It's a bank account in the Cayman Islands.
Well, let's go around the room because Alex brought this up in our little chat that we do on the What's Up, Who's It, the app that we use.
Slack.
And you said you didn't care.
I don't care. I don't care.
Why?
Because I don't care. They're a team in Texas. I don't care about any of the teams in Texas. No, I don't. So here's the thing, right? Anthony Precourt, to me, is yesterday's news, and I do not care what he does. I do not care what results his teams get. I don't care. The only thing that I care about is, like, I miss some of the Crew players who are down there, right? Like, that's
like half the team.
That's like literally it. Like, some of those guys, I'm like, oh man, Stuver's playing, like, cool, right? I literally do not care.
All right.
This is the thing. And this is the thing that I say to people when they talk to me about this. The person who wants this to be a rivalry more than anybody else is Anthony Precourt. Because none of those Texas teams care about Austin. They have all been rivals with each other for a long time. Austin fans are desperate to be relevant, just like every new MLS team is desperate to be relevant. And I'm not going to give them that. I don't care. I do not care. And this is not like me pretending not to care. I want to be very clear. I don't care at all what happens in Austin, Texas.
I am totally the opposite.
I also don't
care.
I don't care what happens in Nashville or Minnesota. or well, that's any different. Of these other. Yeah,
that's,
I don't
yeah.
care.
That's different. I'm going to be on vacation when this game is on, and I'm going to go to a sports bar and shake my fist at the screen and annoy everyone around me. I care a great deal about this game. I want to ground them into like desert Texas Gulch dust. This
Bat
is
guano.
Really this is really important to me.
Here's what I think about this. I think that this game is going to be the one game that matters, and then I think after this it'll kind of dissipate.
You're probably right.
I think that like because I know that there are guys on this team, there are guys on the coaching staff who are feel very strongly about this game. And I imagine that there are, you mentioned former crew players on that team,
mm-hmm.
you know, that some of them that lived through the stuff here. And I imagine that they would like to get that win. Mm-hmm. I think not just, you know, a normal win. I think after, you know, and obviously MLS has made it a big deal. It's a nationally televised game and all that. Mm-hmm. After this year, I think it kind of fizzles out, you know. There'll always be the FU pre-court chants, I imagine, when Austin comes here and things
like
that.
We're not going to play him enough.
As there should be. As there should be.
Right, and that's another thing, is with rivalries, and we were talking about this on Slack earlier, with rivalries, it has to happen on the field.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the Cincinnati thing is a little different. You're in-state, so that was kind of built in. And even that, like, you know, I'm not as connected as a fan anymore, but, like, I still don't really think, you know, I was more interested in the crew beating Chicago than I am about the crew beating Cincinnati. There's just not... Mm-hmm.
A lot of it is a lot of it's manufactured, and the thing about this rivalry in particular is, I do not believe that they can sell Austin as like this new hot, like sexy team. It's going to be hot, and they're going to have to walk 20 minutes to get to the stadium from where they can park. But the idea that, you know, a Dallas Austin rivalry is going to make ESPN, you know, prime time. It's not going to happen.
No.
So Don Garber wants this hatred as like the one thing that he can say, yeah, well, we had to give them a team, but it helped us to make Austin a bigger product and blah, 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 like all this marketing crap.
And
I'm not going to participate. I literally do not care about what happens to any team in Texas. I want to make this – I don't care about Houston. I don't care about Dallas. I don't care about Austin.
I don't care about them either.
Yeah, and here's the thing. I don't – you know, again, I think there's – I want Austin to lose. I don't think this is I don't see them as a rival necessarily. But that doesn't mean I can't prey on their downfall.
I want every team to lose.
I am petty as hell.
Yeah.
And I just want them to lose every game. I want them to lose when we're playing against when they're playing other games. It's the same with the Ravens. And it's not necessarily anything against the franchise itself or any of the players, but it's Anthony Precourt. And I'm sorry, you guys like Hector Jimenez, whom I fucking love, like you are caught in the crossfire. But I want you guys to lose every time as bad, as poorly as possible. And that's just how it is. It doesn't mean that you're our rival, but I do want to look, you know, when I'm looking through Foot Mob and see you losing 6 nothing.
Like, I'm okay with RSL winning games. Their fans are chill, and I don't care about them. I'm cool with San Jose fans. They're cool. Their team can win sometimes. Every other team should lose every game. Yeah. I know that mathematically that's not possible, but I want it to happen anyway. Like, nil-nil, both teams lose, right? That's what I want. -1 and -1, both teams lose.
Here's the thing,
every
though.
Every game.
You know that the league wants this to be a rivalry when this year every single team in MLS only got 2 interconference games.
Mm-hmm.
And the crew get Seattle for an MLS Cup rematch, which just seems like it makes sense. But instead of the crew going to play against Minnesota, which is a little closer for travel, they get to play former crew players there, like Will Trapp. Now you get to play Austin. The league knows that this has the potential to be a very unique and very different rivalry.
Yeah.
There's a reason they didn't have it here, too.
Well, and the thing with that, I think, is like the rest of the league will tune in because of the narrative, right? Regardless of whether crew fans think it's a rivalry. Also, we were talking about this before the podcast, too. Most Austin fans don't know a lot about... I mean, there were the people on Twitter that I know that were, you know, mean. I will use that word. And, like, there was a lot of back and forth. But, like, that's a small minority of the people that have joined this team since it was announced. There's a lot of people that, we got an MLS team. It's an expansion team. We don't know anything beyond that.
Or people who are like, I'm glad that we got a team, and I'm super glad that the crew got to keep their team because that situation was messed up.
I can even vouch for there are people, a lot of people, that don't even know that we were involved.
Yeah,
that's
exactly.
That's
what
crazy,
I'm saying.
That's what I'm saying. Like, it's the thing. I have a lot of friends that I've talked to on the ground there even like soccer friends that didn't even know we were like a part of the story. And it's just because they have kind of insulated it down there. I mean, they are telling more the like, hey, we're getting a soccer team, our first professional soccer team. And again, I'm not like kind of like, you know, help them out here. I'm just saying like that's just the honest truth of it. A lot of the fans there are just happy to have a team and happy to have sports, and that's what it is.
And for the game that they just played, there was a plane that flew over their stadium saying Precourt is a snake.
Who did that? I love it.
Happen to know who did it, and it happens to be a Crew fan.
Really, it was not.
See, that would have been a bit nicer if it was an Austin fan. I'd like to see that organic.
But the thing that was interesting was if you went on Reddit and you saw the comments, there were a bunch of Austin fans there who were like, yeah, that's fair. And it was not like it was not something where they're like, how dare they insult our owner like that? It was, no, yeah, our owner stinks. I'm really glad we have a team, but yeah, our owner stinks. That's like, that's so.
I'm a Cleveland Cavs fan, so I can sympathize with that.
It is what it is. Everybody hates Anthony Precourt. He can still keep recording these dumb videos in his new stadium where he's got like giant piss stains and they're like putting it to like garbage. Like rock and roll bands that he used to listen to at Rock in the Range, and he can keep pretending he's 25 even though he's like 55, and he's getting fatter every day. Like, it's fine. Nobody cares. Hate on Anthony Precourt.
It's called queso.
And let the team go. Yeah,
I was a little
Jimmy Vaughn.
I was a little disappointed that banner didn't fly over for this game. Like, I thought it would have made more. More
who
sense.
Says so, it won't?
So,
I guess that's fair.
Massive Report slush fund.
So what I had heard was that it was really designed to ruin Anthony's day, and it was directed purely at Anthony and nobody else.
I love it.
And they want in that level the only person this person wanted you, to man. See the plane was Anthony Precourt. He wanted him to look up in particular, see that, and wanted his mind partially.
Where his house was, it just fly it over there. But the stadium's the easiest place.
He doesn't live there. Are you kidding?
Yeah, he wanted
to live in Texas.
Wanted his mind kind of partially on that whole saga. And didn't want Anthony to like be able to fully enjoy the moment.
Exactly.
And from what I've heard, no plans for a flight over the Crew game.
Yeah. At the end of the day, like we almost have to forget, since all of us are like working in sports, it is all about theater and storylines. And the league would be stupid not to play it up. I mean,
of course.
My two cents on it is just like the league is needs that to be alive. They need us. They need rivalries, even if they're manufactured. Like, if you think about it, we just spent 15 minutes talking about it. That's what they want.
It means
that's what they want. So
It has to be a discussion if we're talking
exactly.
about
it. Exactly. And that means they've done their job well. And at the end of the day, like, I personally, like, I just love American soccer. And I love watching it play. I'm excited for the game to be, like, I've got people on both sides playing. I want us to win just because I also am a Crew fan. Mm-hmm. That's about as far as it goes. I just want us to beat them because I'm a Crew fan.
From a soccer standpoint, though, we have to say that the Crew are pretty favored to probably win this game. Austin has not been very
You
impressive.
Have to win this game.
Yeah. And that's taking bias out of it. It's just facts.
To me, our biggest opponent is the weather. And Texas teams have to deal with this. 92 degrees on Saturday with 63% humidity. Not as bad as it can get.
Well, they haven't
Texas.
Played in Austin that much yet. So
It's going to be pretty nasty. And we have to deal with that, too.
Start.
Well, yeah.
It's still hot.
There are so many guys on their roster that I recognize. Is there anybody on their team that we should be concerned with?
The two guys that come to mind are probably Cecilio Dominguez and Alexander Ring. I would say that they've been the most impressive guys for Austin thus far. Fagundes as well has played very well for Austin FC. You've got Matt Beasler in the back, veteran MLS, U.S. men's national team defender. I don't think Sebastian Berhalter is allowed to play in this game because of the whole loan parent club thing.
He's not.
Yeah.
But he has played 7 times for them already.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no starts, all sub appearances.
Which is what you wanted. You wanted to see him playing this game.
That is exactly why he was sent there. And, you know, it's only 101 minutes, which isn't a ton, but he's getting on the field.
Yeah.
He's been on the bench, I think, every game for them. So, you know, that wasn't going to happen here. Pre-Aiden Morris injury.
And Josh Wolf, a guy that, you know, is obviously familiar with the player,
correct.
Close with Greg, too.
Yeah.
All those things.
And, again, and I've said this on podcast before, you know, I think a lot of people just assumed because there's an option to buy at the end of this loan deal that he's gone.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that, you know, if he plays well, the crew will want him here.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and, I mean,
we'll
see.
Remember how good he looked down in Miami?
Yeah, I mean, he's... You know,
Orlando, sorry.
Yeah, but he, you know, he's a guy who he was the name in the academy. I mean, not just because his dad was the coach, but he was a player. You know, I saw him at practice a handful of times. He looked like what Aiden Morris looked like in MLS Cup. Mm-hmm. And it just, you know, for various reasons, Aiden kind of took that mantle. And Aiden was a good player, too, and obviously is. But, you know, that's a guy who could very well still end up in Columbus. Yeah.
The only other player that we would, like, talk about on their team is our boy Brad Stuver. He's out there doing work right now.
He's playing well,
like, very, very well. Not in the sense of just, like, obviously, like, the shutouts and stuff, but, like, the actual plays that he is making is – we never really got to see that as Crew fans just because of just the way life worked out. So we're seeing him be the pro that he has been, and he is standing on his head down there. I actually could see him making the All-Star Game roster.
I don't know about that. I could see it. I think he was always stuck behind, like, really good keepers, right?
Yeah. Always. Yeah.
And so he was always a very serviceable backup. You know, I think he's, you know, for like an expansion team, like he's a great option to have. Like, he was like an affordable.
And they've got
solid
two of them.
Keeper.
I mean, we saw what Tarbell was able to do.
Yeah.
I think Stuver is probably better with the ball at his feet, which is what they want to play. You know, the Greg Berhalter, Josh Wolf, very similar style is what they're doing down there. But, you know, I was surprised at first that it was Stuver over Tarbell just because. Tarbell played some very big games last year, but once I saw how they were playing and Brad's comfort on the ball, it was pretty clear. And you know, Hector Jimenez, who has been on this podcast and you know, a long time crew service,
love Hector.
MCL injury, he's back. He was on the bench last week, hurt himself, I don't know, 3 or 4 games ago, but he's back. I imagine he will be on the bench. So there were 4 crew players on the bench for them last week. 6 defenders for the crew, 4 crew players on the bench for Austin. So
it's going to be weird for those guys.
Yeah,
Kakuta really
down there,
is.
Forgot
Kakuta,
to.
Yeah. It's going to be weird
for
those
guys. Well, I want, you know, obviously for Austin, you need to get points at this point. So, like, you don't just throw crew players, you know, but, like, if you could do, like, a, you know, senior day where you start all the seniors type of thing and then sub them out real quick for the guys that would be a fun thing to see.
It's
going to
be a strange night.
What do we think the results of that game are going to be, though?
Let's go around the room. We'll start with Murph.
I've watched a decent amount of Austin because they're on TV a lot.
Yeah, they are.
And I don't think it's as bad of a team as the record.
They're okay.
Shows.
They're better than Chicago.
They are definitely better than Chicago. I think it's going to be a super emotional game for various people. You know, I think I wouldn't be surprised if Precourt makes an emphasis to the team, and I don't mean that in a bad way. Like, you know, I think that could be interest. You know, go talk to the team on the Thursday before, you know, at practice or something.
Have Jimmy Vaughn.
Their
come
fans
and
were mean to me on Twitter. Go beat them. Go beat them. They were mean to me on Twitter
guys,
for a whole year.
It's
not
Jimmy
make any
Vaughn.
Eye contact.
It's Jimmy Vaughn to address the locker room.
There you go.
I like it. I like the guitar solo.
But you know, Josh
he's sweating too.
Josh Wolf, obviously, with his connection here, he's trying to establish himself as a coach. He would like nothing more than to get a win over the defending MLS Cup champions.
Yeah, statement win for him.
Yeah, exactly. You know, they didn't win their first game at their stadium. I think this game's tougher than it looks on paper just because of what's attached. But I also have talked to multiple guys on the crew who are very fired up. This is before the season. I mean, this hasn't come up recently, but this game was pointed to as like, you know, I mean, If you think about it, there are certain guys that make a lot of sense that want to win this game. And so I'm going to say a 2-1 crew win. Mm-hmm. I think it's going to be tougher, though. I think it'll be a hard-fought game. It wouldn't surprise me if there's some antics at points.
It's going to be some cards.
I think it'll be a fun one. Like I said before, get out of this one. I don't think this is a rivalry. You don't play enough, you know, anything like that. But I think this first one's gonna feel – you're going to feel something out of
it. I think this one and the first one here.
Sure.
I think that's what we do.
Definitely.
You got a pick?
Oh, so I said 2-1, crew.
2-1, okay.
Yeah.
All right. Emotional, hard fought. I think it's going to be a good game, but I think the crew are only going to win 1-0. I think it's from a penalty kick. I think both defenses are going to show up. But the atmosphere is going to be intense, and that will start a 3-game streak where the crew play in each one of the 3 new venues in Major League Soccer.
Alright. Alex?
Their offense has not looked the greatest, so I think 2-0.
Alright. Ty?
I'm going to go 2-1. 2-1. They do want to get a goal in that new stadium. I can see that pressure. And obviously, the storylines that I think the coach and Josh will get them rived up. They're going to get a goal, I believe, but I do think we do 2-1 or 3-1. That's I'm going to sit there. I'm going to have my two scores, okay? 2-1 or 3-1.
Bart is like a volcano right now. He wants to explode with a lava of goals.
I think that the score line is going to be the same as one of the most memorable games under the pre-court regime. And, of course, we're talking about the Halloween Massacre. 4-1. Crew will win down there in Austin. Josh Williams.
Over and, Matt Beisler?
Oh, yes. Yep. Josh Williams is absolutely going to score. We were talking about the last game. I just do want a quick shout out. The terrific article that Josh Williams penned in the Dispatch about that final game at Cruz Stadium. And you know he is one of those players that this is going to be something special for him. And I think he gets that bicycle goal.
Nice.
I love it.
Watch out, TK.
If he scores, I do wonder if there are going to be some Crew fans or Crew players who are going to be trying to figure out where the owner's box is.
Yes.
Like walking around the pitch and being like, that's where I'm running when I score. Mm. Like I'm running straight over there.
Sam, what do you got?
I'm going to go with a dose of Sarah.
See, I was thinking about that, but I just got to top Bart at this point. 4-0! 4-0, Crew! I'm going on vacation. I'm going to get lit up in some random sports bar out in the Outer Banks, and my wife is going to be sitting there with her arms folded, shaking her head.
Saying, I do not know this man.
And I'm going to go full vacation mode and enjoy the Crew 4-0 over Austin on Sunday.
Now that we've said that, this came up to mind when Ty was talking about friends in Nashville or friends in Austin who didn't know that the Crew was involved. The final iteration of the Save the Crew movie actually is this Thursday at Gateway Film Center.
Ah.
And from what I've heard so far, it is better than part one and part two, obviously, for obvious reasons. So
more Bart.
There are three showings, but go on to Gateway Film Center's website and grab your tickets because it's only going to be shown there one night. So it's this Thursday.
Thank you for that, Sam. There was so much. There's always so much. Why do we have so much drama?
That's what they want. It's Major League Soccer. Yeah. It's sports. It's life. There's always drama.
No, there's always drama. There's someone. We have a freaking movie to promote. All right, let's get out of here. It's been going on way too long. Ari, pleased with your saucy copy.
Yeah, second time here at Saucy Brewworks, best bar in Columbus, and the place to be in the world, Saucy Brewworks. If your brew works, then why not be saucy with it? Check them out on 443 West 3rd Avenue. And, of course, this Sunday, they are having a watch party at Village Idiot for the Columbus Crew Austin FC game. Come here, try their beer, try some pizza, too. The pizza's very good. I can vouch for it now.
Yes.
Well, and if you don't do that, but we encourage you to do that, they're doing this watch party at the stadium outside, which sounds, if I were not going down to cover the game in Austin, I would definitely come check that out. You probably know more about
LTA
that time.
LTA is going to be like co-hosting it as well, I'm pretty excited for that.
Nice.
It'll be on the plaza, if I'm correctly.
I just canceled my vacation.
Yeah, it's going to be a good time, fun time. So
any
I believe.
Bands?
I need to double check on that. I'm pretty sure there will be, but double check your emails. I think they're making it "quote unquote" ticketed, re-ticketed. Like we have to see who's there. So check your emails, everybody. Just show up and let's have a good time.
Yes, yeah, Sam and I, when we left the stadium naming rights thing at the stadium, we walked past that area and it's
phenomenal.
It looks really cool. Yeah. Yeah, they already have the TV out there and stuff like that. So I think it'll be fun.
Ooh.
It reminded me of when Land Grant would do that outdoor cruise stuff.
Yep.
Like it looks like that kind of space.
Nice.
With so you know, right. I hope it's a good time for everybody.
All right, everyone, get together on Sunday. And watch the Austin game, wherever you're going to watch it. It should be fun. It should be interesting. All right. Thank you, Ori. Thank you to Murph and Alex and Ty. Anytime, Ty, please.
Yeah. I love it, to be honest. Like, I've had a lot of fun with you guys twice.
Just come down.
Yeah, I'll
do it. We're here. I don't know. Are we going to be doing
Mondays?
Mondays
probably, in general?
I guess. I don't know.
Let me know. Let me know. Just you guys know how to get me.
Sam. Thank you for putting everything together. My name is Brian. Listen to my radio station, CD92.9. I got to get up here in a few hours and do that again. So I got to get out of here. This was the longest Massive Report podcast ever. I'm happy to be back.
Not even guys. Top 10. Not even top
not even
10.
Close.
Well, around in the Brian era. Yeah.
Okay, fair enough. All right, I'll see you guys next week. Go Crew.